You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
Good morning, football fans, coming to you live from the cave. This is Teddy the Verte. Alongside of me here is Dallas Big D Duclos.
I'm always here.
Good morning, Dallas.
Hello.
Another good day, another fine Sunday.
It's another day.
I mean,
another day, another set of debates, and another set of draft grades.
I was just about to say, it's a fine day, but it's not a real fine day because there's no football on. So
yeah, that's kind of disappointing. That's the thing where it gets disappointing. But I have to say, I've been getting my football fix in even still.
Yeah.
A little bit of the college football.
Well, and we're even here for everybody else's NFL football fix right here. I mean, that's what we're here for. Remember, guys, this show has a no politics, no bias, no BS filter on here. We don't sugarcoat our opinions, but we're going to give it to you guys straight. That's how it is around here. Again, if you guys haven't liked the Facebook page, please do so. Follow us on Twitter, Spreaker, Instagram, iTunes,
Stitcher, and soon to be iHeartRadio. Still working that out. They're really
tough.
Really a pain.
But we're everywhere, guys. You can't miss us. You Google Straight Football Talk. You Google Teddy the Bear Tate or Dallas Big D Duclos or Awesome Austin Thomas. You're going to find us.
And also, guys, we're now on Spotify as well. We have our own Spotify channel.
There we go.
Totally Driven Entertainment does.
Yeah.
It's free. We're also on Google Play. It's also free.
Yeah.
Google
I mean,
Play, guys.
We're everywhere. Anyways, guys, before we even get started, I want to mention and thank everyone for doing just that, though, liking and sharing our stuff, because we're growing, our audience is getting bigger, and we can't thank you guys enough. So really, thank you so much. Big D, it's that time of the day. We're going to be doing our NFL buzz. And again, guys, it's not a whole lot of NFL buzz. It's this time of the off season, but we still got to give you guys what's going on in the NFL. We got to let you guys know what all the happenings are, all that stuff. So Big D, without further ado.
That's good.
Awesome Austin may or may not be calling in. I'm not sure about that, but I mean, if he does, we'll just bring him on in. Let's get this started off, Big D. The Atlanta Falcons have signed safety Ron Parker to a 1-year deal. Obviously, former Kansas City Chief here. Solid signing. I mean, definitely at the very minimum depth and a veteran, veteran leadership role. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's always good to have some depth in your backfield.
Sure.
It's helpful.
Next up. All right. This has been put on our Straight Football Talk Facebook page, and we're going to talk about this a little bit, Big D. I want to talk about what David Carr, former Houston Texan quarterback.
Ooh.
Yeah,
Ooh.
David Carr. I don't know if you guys remember him or not. It's been a while since he's played. But former NFL quarterback David Carr has come out and said that Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger is no longer a top 10 quarterback.
Don't you have to win Super Bowls still to talk about being a top 10 quarterback?
I mean, I think you have to be relevant.
I mean, don't you have to have had some winning seasons? I mean, what David Carr, what have you ever done that's been so great? You don't even need to be talking about, not only do you not need to be talking about top 10 quarterbacks, you don't even need to be talking about top 100 quarterbacks. You just need to sit down and shut up, be quiet.
Well, the thing is what David Carr, what he mentioned is the talent around Ben Roethlisberger.
But so now you're going to cry because you don't have talent around you, David Carr? Is that what we're listening to here?
But I will say, to an extent, I see his point. But also, look at when he didn't have Antonio Brown and Mike Wallace was the star guy and then Emmanuel Sanders. And we talked about this before, Big D. It seems like every time you turn around, the Steelers get a new wide receiver and all of a sudden he's a superstar. There's no coincidence. And the fixture on this has always been Big Ben. Big Ben is not only a top 10 quarterback, in my opinion, he's arguably a top 5 quarterback.
It's, you know, I mean, it's the same conversation we had about Peyton Manning.
Right.
Certain people on your team elevate your game.
Absolutely.
Don't be sour grapes, David, because nobody elevated yours, all right? Just stay at home and be quiet.
Oh.
If you got something to say about that, you can come on Straight Football Talk.
That's right.
Talk about all the duds you left on the field, big boy.
Sure. Next up, the Minnesota Vikings have extended defensive end Daniel Hunter to a 5-year deal worth $72 million, $40 million guaranteed.
You're letting women play football now?
Yeah, Big D.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
You put Danielle on there.
Anyway,
a five-year deal worth $72 million with $40 million guaranteed. Look, I mean, Minnesota's clearly determined to maintain their hold on this defense that they have. They're clearly invested in making sure that this defense is here to stay. And look, that defense was pretty nasty last season.
They are definitely the purple team.
They really are. So, I mean, you got to do what keeps you in the win column, and it looks like the Minnesota Vikings have been paying attention to what wins you football games, and its defense.
So, I mean, you've got Hunter, you've got Griffin, you've got Anthony Barr.
Yeah.
You know, you've got all these players on this defense. Xavier Rhodes is another one. This defense has so many playmakers, and it's gonna terrorize the NFL. I can guarantee that. And obviously, you guys. When I say you guys, the Green Bay Packers, you guys got to play them twice a year instead of the other division rivals in the NFC North. And it's just the Minnesota Vikings are getting the job done here. You can't say any more than that. You know, obviously, congratulations to Mr. Hunter. I mean, $40 million guaranteed.
$40 million guaranteed is –
That's some cheddar.
Yeah, that's some cheese right there. That's pretty good.
Next up, and this was breaking news a few days ago. The NFL has officially suspended Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback Jameis Winston. And that was for 3 games. Obviously, there was some unwanted touching with the Uber driver.
It's only three games?
Yeah, and then we've got Ezekiel Elliott's situation where it's he got six games last year. And this is where you, Austin, and I have talked about the inconsistency with Roger Goodell in the NFL is atrocious. I've got to sit here and
just
think.
Just kick him out of the league.
And the thing is Ezekiel Elliott, it was never proven. No, but he, you know, nothing was ever proven with Ezekiel. This, Jameis Winston has come out and said he's guilty. It's true, blah, blah, blah. And he only gets 3 games. I am at a loss for words as far as I mean.
I'm not at a loss for words. The NFL has really, really disappointed me in the way that they have handled players who need disciplinary action. I feel like Jameis Winston got off incredibly light. There should. I don't care if there's a policy of honesty and all this. The honesty gets you out of trouble. You know, you can't assault someone,
right,
sexually or otherwise, and only get suspended for not even a quarter of the season.
Right.
I mean, he shouldn't be playing.
Right.
Period. And if he had come out and told me that yes, I'm guilty, and these, you know, it doesn't matter what the situation is. That you know, at any other job, you get fired.
Right.
You're fired.
Right.
And so I think that I'm very disappointed in the way that the NFL has not only handled their players, but they are sending a message to their players. They're like, hey, well, you know, it depends on what law you break. But if you break one that's, not as violent as some of the other crimes we've seen, we'll just let it slide, you know, slap on the wrist, and you go right back out to making millions of dollars.
And see, here I am also thinking, you know, Martavis Bryant, he was suspended for a whole year due to marijuana possession.
There's just such inconsistency. I mean, because at least he didn't hurt anybody.
Right.
At least he didn't touch anybody or injure anybody.
Right.
We've
and James,
so many suspensions for guys who didn't even – I mean, you want to talk about Martavis Bryant. What about Josh Gordon? He got suspended for the same thing. He basically lost the season.
Right.
And, you know, he got suspended for a similar thing that Martavis Bryant got. Hey, he didn't hurt anybody. He was minding his own business.
To be fair with Jameis, he didn't hurt the woman. It was just unwanted touching.
Well,
and,
some people's minds,
right,
that would be hurt.
Right. I just want to make sure there's no physical altercation
kind of
thing.
There's an emotional level of
right.
hurt that comes with that.
Sure.
And just because you're famous doesn't mean you should be able to get away with that kind of stuff, Jameis.
Big D. All right. Moving on.
I can change his name to Infamous Jameis.
Right. Keeping it to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they have released offensive lineman J.R. Sweezy, obviously not performing to the level that they wanted.
Did anybody on Tampa Bay's team perform to the level that they wanted? Just cut them all. Start over.
You know, real quick, though, in all honesty, you bring up a good point with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And, for instance, let's go back to Jameis Winston real quick. If these – this isn't the first time Jameis Winston's been in trouble.
No,
this isn't
not.
The first time we have he's also underperformed. In
he's
my mind,
a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, and in my mind, if he doesn't start to be a franchise quarterback this season, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers move on from Jameis Winston.
Honestly, if I was Tampa Bay, I'd be moving on right now.
Yeah.
I'd be starting to look at the incoming prospects for this coming year. I'd be paying a very close eye on them, and I'd be looking for trades.
Yeah.
I'd be looking to redo it because, honestly, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they have a lot of work to do. They need to continue to revamp their defense. And honestly, maybe Jameis isn't the guy.
Right.
I'm starting to see more and more that, you know, not only is there all these off-field issues, that's the thing. You look at, you know, people made a big deal out of Ezekiel Elliott, you know, and his suspension. But here's the thing about that. Ezekiel Elliott performed when he played.
Right.
Famous Jameis didn't perform.
Right.
He played very poorly when he came back. So, I mean, you know, teams are a lot less likely to put up with this when their player isn't winning them championships.
Right.
So, do with that what you will.
Leave it at that.
Yeah.
Indianapolis Colts running back Robert Turbin has been suspended for violating the league's PED policy. And Big D, if you guys haven't looked at our Facebook page, look at the picture of Robert Turbin. He is jacked.
He is jacked. Yes. Makes me wonder why people are just not like, are you Robert?
Yeah.
Are you lying to me? Are you doing something over there?
I mean,
we work out together every day, and I don't look like you.
We couldn't have picked a better picture for that. Cause, I mean, he is absolutely jacked in that picture. And that was, I mean, it was perfect. So, I mean, it's a little laugh for myself, but
like,
still.
He looks like he's about ready to burst through the computer screen.
Right. Philadelphia Eagles linebacker Nigel Bradham has been suspended for the first game of the 2018 season. We'll find more on that and let you guys know about that. Now, Big D, we're moving on from the NFL buzz. It is time for our debates and time for we're going to do these before our NFL draft picks.
Okay.
First one.
Mm-hmm.
Friday's pick a player.
Mm-hmm.
Who would you rather have as your franchise quarterback? A in prime Tony Romo or Dak Prescott now?
Dak Prescott now.
No, you don't want Tony Romo?
No.
You want nothing to do with him?
I don't want anything to do with Tony Romo, and I'll tell you why. Dak Prescott, he's got a lot more mobility than Tony Romo did, even in his prime.
Okay.
He's got more durability than Tony Romo did. Honestly, I think as good as Romo's arm is, I think Dak Prescott's got a better arm. And I honestly think he's thrown, you know, in the short period of time, he's thrown more touchdowns than interceptions ratio than Tony Romo did. I would take Dak Prescott over Tony Romo as my franchise quarterback.
You know, the thing is I want to take Tony so bad because I know the numbers he's put up, and I know how
he's put up great numbers.
Yeah, and he's performed very well, and he's worked so hard because he went undrafted and becoming a starting quarterback, and you know, he's all the talent he had around him in previous years, all that. I want to do it. But the potential of Dak Prescott, I think I'm taking that more
the
over.
Upside that Dak Prescott has, especially with his athleticism. See, that's the thing. Tony Romo was very talented when he played, and he had a lot of grit.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, that doesn't make up for the athleticism. Dak Prescott's just a more physical person
mm-hmm.
than Tony Romo is. Tony Romo is a good sit in the pocket, throw the ball.
Right.
But Dak Prescott has more mobility than he does. And in the NFL now, you kind of need that.
Just want to give a real quick shout out to all you guys joining us, Mark and Jason. Good morning. Appreciate you guys tuning in here. Big D, we're going to actually move on from Tony Romo versus Dak now to Carson Wentz and Aaron Rodgers, NFL top 100 player rankings. Aaron Rodgers got number 10. I don't know about you. I know you're a Green Bay Packers fan, so I don't know how you're going to feel about this. But my feelings are he didn't even play a full season. You know, didn't even come anywhere close. He does not deserve to be in the top 100, period.
Who?
Aaron Rodgers, yes. How do you feel about Aaron Rodgers being number 10 last season?
I know the voting was done by the players for last season.
Right.
But, you know, I always think that Aaron Rodgers is a top 100 caliber player.
Absolutely.
But if we're just going off last year.
Right. Just last year.
I don't think I can put him in the top 10.
Right.
I mean, he didn't play the entire season. He did – when he played, he was effective.
He played like
Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, honestly, there was this chance that he might come back. But I would say that – I would still say he's still top 20 of last year. Top 20 at least.
You got top 20.
I'm going to say he bottoms out at about 20.
I just can't give him that.
I don't want to give him – I'm not giving him 10 because last season he didn't play the entire season.
Right.
And, you know, even though he was still playing Aaron Rodgers caliber football when he was playing, he did still have a bit of a down year. So I'm not giving him 10.
Right.
I mean, the only reason I'm going to give him that benefit of the doubt of maybe being top 20, top 25 is because of the impact that he had when he left the team due to injury. And that's the only reason why I'd say that is because, honestly, even though he was kind of having a down season in comparison to previous years, you know, if he doesn't get injured and doesn't have to go out, the Packers are a playoff team. There's no doubt about it. They were still almost a playoff team even without him. So they would have been a playoff team. He just changes the whole dynamic of the game for them. So I'm not giving him top 10. I think that's very generous for last season, although the players are the ones that voted for it. So.
Right, of course. Now, Carson Wentz. And again, Big D, I don't know how you feel about it. I have a feeling I know what you're thinking, but Carson Wentz gets number 3, everybody. So out of the entire NFL, the players voted that he was number 3 in the NFL. Do you agree with that?
No.
Where do you see Carson Wentz at?
I see Carson Wentz maybe as low as 18, maybe even 20 in the NFL.
Okay.
He performed very well, but if you look at the team around him, and before anybody says that I'm dropping hate on Carson Wentz and the Eagles, let me remind you all that at the beginning of the season, before the season started, a season ago, I openly said that the Philadelphia Eagles would be a Super Bowl champion team.
Yeah.
When we got to the playoffs, I doubled down and said that they would win the Super Bowl. As the playoffs progressed, I stuck with them and they won the Super Bowl. Even without Carson Wentz, I still said they'll win the Super Bowl.
Right.
And what happened? They won the Super Bowl.
Right.
But you know who wasn't playing in the Super Bowl for the Philadelphia Eagles still became MVP and his backup became MVP? Carson Wentz.
Right.
Nick Foles came into the Super Bowl as a backup quarterback and was the Super Bowl MVP.
Right.
If the backup quarterback on your team can win the Super Bowl
and
become the MVP,
right.
There's a lot more going on your team than just you.
Yeah.
As a top caliber talent. And you know what? I don't think Carson Wentz is at that level yet. He's talented, but a lot of his success is due to the coaching, the talent around him, because he is one of the most talented receiving corps in the NFL, talented running backs, a great offensive line. And let's not forget the defense, which gives him so many opportunities because of how many turnovers and sacks they got, how often they kept teams off the field. So, honestly, I don't see it. I don't see where Carson Wentz is the third best player in the NFL. And when you look at the NFL and you look at truly dynamic and truly impactful players in the NFL, there are so many names that can go before Carson Wentz. And just off the top of my head, I can say, you know, obviously Tom Brady. But look at guys like Antonio Brown, Julio Jones, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley.
Right.
Look at some of these guys. And Carson Wentz is better than Todd Gurley and Le'Veon Bell. He's better than Julio Jones now. He's better than some of the biggest playmakers in the NFL. And he doesn't finish the year and his backup wins the Super Bowl while he's sitting at home?
I think what you're saying is pretty much what I'm thinking too. And like you said, in my opinion, with the Eagles offense, you can sit there and plug in any good starting caliber quarterback and they could go and be a Super Bowl caliber team. That all, like you said, that offensive line is one of the best. The weapons around him was one of the best because they lost some weapons now, but it was one of the best. The defense was one of the best as well. And then the coaching was top tier. I mean, there's no reason.
They were in the top. I think they were in the top five in almost every category.
Right, and I think sometimes people forget that Nick Foles
was number one in sacks.
Well, and Nick Foles was a good starting quarterback back when he was with the Eagles before. People have forgotten that. In my opinion, Carson Wentz does not deserve top three, I think he barely makes top 30 because of all these reasons. Not to mention, let's go look at this real quick too, Big D. Something else we're forgetting to mention to these people. Look at their schedule.
They played 12 – their first 12 games, they played one playoff team.
That was the Kansas City Chiefs, and they lost.
Yeah, and they lost to that team.
In the first game, they beat the Redskins, which to me –
That's
right.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. They only scored 20 points against the Chiefs. They barely edge out the Giants, the same New York Giants that were number two in the draft. So they had the second worst winning record last year. They barely edge them out by a field goal. Then they barely beat the Chargers by 2 points. Now, the Chargers defense, I'll give them this. The Chargers defense was good, about top five. They beat the Cardinals. That wasn't saying much either. The Cardinals weren't that big of a deal. They beat the Eagles or the Panthers. They edged out the Panthers by 5 points. And they beat the Redskins again. Again, you and I don't really care.
Yeah.
They beat the Niners before they had Jimmy Garoppolo,
yeah,
which was, I mean, that team was garbage. They beat the Broncos. Now, the Broncos, this is where I think Carson Wentz starts to really kick it in gear. Because – I mean, you can even say that for the two games before that. With the Eagles versus the Redskins, they scored 34 points. Then the 49ers, they scored 33 points. They're building his confidence. He's starting to kick it. And then he beats the Broncos defense and hangs 51 points. That's a big deal.
If there was a lot of turnovers in that game, same could be said for the next game against the Cowboys. Cowboys
right.
Turned the ball over like it was going
sure.
to style.
Sure. I'm just saying.
But look, I mean,
you know.
they lost to the Seahawks.
Right.
A team that's not in the playoffs. They barely beat the Rams. Okay, they barely beat the Giants again. They barely beat the Raiders.
Well,
of all teams, they couldn't even put up 20 on the Raiders, whose defense was awful. And then they lost.
Well,
the Cowboys, they only put up no points in that game.
The last few games, the Giants won. That was when I think that's when Nick Foles was there.
Yeah,
is the starting of that. So these games we can't count. But I will say, I've even heard people say, you know, they would have won the Super Bowl with Carson Wentz. You know, Nick Foles was garbage the first two games. Yeah, but Carson Wentz wasn't all gravy either the first few games. And it shows on their schedule. Once Nick Foles got comfortable, once Nick Foles settled with the offense and got some rhythm and got some chemistry building up with Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith and Nelson Agholor, guess what happened? They started banging them out. They beat the Purple People Eaters defense that was so stellar. And it is still stellar. They went and beat the reigning Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. They beat Tom Brady.
And don't forget, it was a defensive play that locked that game up for them.
Sure.
Not an offensive play.
Right.
Defensive play by Nigel Bradham and company.
So my whole point is yes, Carson Wentz deserves to be on the top 100 without question. He played when he was healthy and throughout the time he was playing during the season, he played well. But top three, no, not even close.
He's not a top three player in the NFL.
I can't give him that. There's no way. And I know there's some Eagles fans out there that are listening or watching, and they're calling us haters, but we're not haters. We love the Eagles. Awesome, Austin Thomas, you know, the guy who calls in on our show every week. He's a huge Eagles fan. He always has been. And I
predicted their Super Bowl. So, you know, I'm about as unbiased when it comes to this situation as I can be. I called it at the beginning of the year. I called
right.
the shot, and they dunked it. So, you know, I understand people are not going to be happy with it, but the fact remains, he's not done enough to demonstrate that he's a top three player in the NFL.
Now, listen, guys. Also, if you guys have any questions or you know have anything on your mind about football, ask us. We'll answer and we'll talk about what you guys want to talk about. Awesome, Austin Sells has called in, and that's okay. Big D, next up. Now, this one's kind of it's not a debate; it's more of a fun question. What player from your divisional rival would you want on your team? And so you've got the choice between the Bears, Vikings, or the Lions.
I want Stephon Diggs.
Ooh. You like Stephon Diggs, huh?
Yeah, Stephon Diggs would be nice.
Or
I would like – I can't have Stephon Diggs want I'd like to see Golden Tate.
Yeah.
Golden Tate's pretty nice.
I think if I was the Packers, if I was in your shoes, who I would want is Darius Slay.
I was thinking about Darius Slay.
Darius Slay would be awesome for your defense.
Or Everson Griffin.
Yeah, you like Griffin?
Yeah, Griffin would be good.
So for me, I had two. And my one, the first one is realistically, what do we need? You know, kind of like what you're thinking with Griffin and Darius Slay. What do I need? for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and that would be, to me, middle linebacker. So I want C.J. Mosley. I think he would boost our defense a lot. If I'm wanting just to do fun, just to have fun with this, and what I would enjoy the most, A.J. Green. A.J. Green with Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, and now James Washington would be a blast to watch. I mean, good luck. That's all I got to say. So, anyways, now, NFL draft grades, guys. And, again, this will not be a long show. We're going to bust these out. You know, it is what it is, guys. And, again, like, share the video, comment, all that good stuff. First off, Big D, we have the Dallas Cowboys. Big D, you were a huge fan of their first pick.
Yeah, I like
go ahead and talk about it.
Leighton Vander Esch, big guy from Boise State. Little something a lot of people weren't talking about Leighton Vander Esch, is that he was a walk-on, and he managed to earn his way on the Boise State defense,
right,
where he became an absolute force for the team. He's a sideline-to-sideline run defender. He's got 33 7/8 of an inch long arms, wingspan. It's pretty solid. But he's 6'5", 256 pounds. He's great at getting into the backfield, and people are already saying that he is going to be a future Pro Bowler.
Wow.
Todd McShay thinks that he has Pro Bowl potential.
Hmm. I like Leighton Vander Esch a lot. Obviously, this is one of the players that was talked about maybe falling to the Steelers. Obviously, so I kept pretty close attention to him. Like you said, he's fast, he's versatile, he's got that grit and determination to be a good starting linebacker. You know, being a walk on and earning his way throughout college, it just shows the work ethic that. And when you have that kind of work ethic from a rookie, bringing that into the locker room is a huge deal, because that not only elevates the rookie, it also elevates the locker room. And I'm very excited to see what he does for the Cowboys. And let's be honest here, the Cowboys last year, they needed help on defense, and one of the spots was linebacker. They had a lot of injuries on defense. They had a lot of suspensions. Linebacker was a need. Smith was there. Sean Lee's always hurt. Leighton Vander Esch is going to make an impact away.
He'll make a great impact all the way. The next guy, though, Connor Williams.
I'm a huge fan of.
It's an exciting pick.
Yeah.
6'5", 296 pounds, is offensive guard. But also, he can play tackle. He can play guard or tackle, which is great. But he is absolutely fantastic at recognizing blitzes and stunts.
Right.
So he is great at picking up the blitz. Play down in Texas. He's a home team kind of guy.
Yeah, the thing is, what I liked about watching it on draft day when he got selected was the fact that he was home. He's already home.
Yeah, he's already there. He didn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, he was from Dallas. He played at, you know, the Longhorns. Yeah, close enough. You know, he now he's staying with the Dallas Cowboys. It's a big deal for him. It's a dream come true. Obviously, growing up as a kid down in Texas, you always hear about the Dallas Cowboys, of course.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, something else that's not said enough about this kid. He has played at guard and tackle. This is huge. This is the versatility that we talk about when it comes to these offensive linemen. Always make yourself valuable. And this is what these offensive linemen do. They learn different positions on the O-line. And, if they need to plug them in at guard, they need to plug them in at tackle. That's good, because they've had some offensive line issues as far as locking them up to long-term deals and getting these contract extensions done. And so the Cowboys, you know, getting good depth here. Connor Williams, in my opinion, has a future here for Dallas, and I'm very excited to see his future here.
This next pick is very spicy.
I love it.
Very spicy. Michael Gallup from Colorado State, 6'1", 205 pounds. This guy caught 76 passes, 2,285 yards, and 21 touchdowns in only two seasons with the Rams. And keep in mind, he did that after transferring from a Kansas community college.
Right.
Freddie Green comes in, manages to do that. This guy will kill you if you play zone defense against him. And what do, like, almost every defense in the Cowboys division play? They play zone defense. he's got above-average playmaking speed.
Sure.
And he's got a lot of size to him. So he's going to have a significant advantage. And honestly, look, the Cowboys, they don't have they don't have a lot of options now at the wideout position. But with Dez Bryant being gone, Jason Witten out, some of their top, you know, offensive threats are now gone.
Yeah, and I think it's something to note. They picked up Allen Hurns at the wide wide receiver position and free agency. They drafted Michael Gallup here. They had a couple of guys that they drafted last year and have picked up. Obviously, Terrence Williams is going to be a factor. Cole Beasley is Dak's favorite target. And then I mentioned when Dez Bryant left, Noah Brown. Mm-hmm. They drafted him last year late in the draft. And Noah Brown has similar size to Dez Bryant. Well, listen, Michael Gallup may even have a better chance to make that starting gig with Allen Hurns and Cole Beasley. And to be honest with you, it would make a ton of sense to me. He's, like you said, he's got above average game speed. He has playmaking ability. And the dude flat out gets it. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I'm excited to see Michael Gallup here. Big D, I think the next one we're going to go to that will have an almost immediate impact is Dalton Schultz, tight end out of Stanford. Obviously, like you said, Jason Witten's not there anymore. They're going to look – they drafted this guy to potentially – you know, at the time, we weren't sure if he was going to be Jason Witten's replacement or the starter because there was talks about Jason Witten retiring. This, here we go.
And
it's the replacement.
And listen, Ted, since Austin's not here,
sure,
just to let you know that Dalton Schultz caught 55 passes for 555 yards and 5 touchdowns in a single season.
Right.
Can throw that out there. That's a lot of fives. So if he takes up the number five, we can expect similar production out of him, huh?
Right.
Huh? But no, in all seriousness, he's got a lot of size and athleticism. He's 6'5", 244 pounds. He's a red zone threat. So, I mean, he should fill in quite nicely if you fit him into their system.
Big D, we're now going to transition from the Dallas Cowboys to the Detroit Lions and players that should or could make an immediate impact. This first pick for the Detroit Lions, you and I have questioned. You and I were not sure about this because on draft, the first round, they picked up Frank Ragnow, center out of Arkansas. And there was two centers that were ranked higher than he was, Daniels from Iowa and Billy Price from the Ohio State University. Big D, in my opinion, this was one of the start-offs here that I just was not a fan of for the Detroit Lions. Yes, they needed offensive line help, I get, but there were, in my opinion, quote-unquote, better prospects available.
There were better offensive linemen available on the board when Frank Ragnow got drafted. But all I did was sit at home and say, oh, thank you, Detroit. Thank you for dropping the ball on this one.
Of course.
But no, Frank Ragnow, though, he's still a very talented player. He's got great work ethic. He's been praised multiple times for his work ethic and his versatility on the offensive line.
Right.
He's 6'5", he's 312 pounds, so he's a big body.
He's a hog molly.
And honestly, the Lions had the worst run game in the NFL last season.
It's very true.
So they were also tied for 24th with 47 sacks allowed last season. So they needed to do something.
Right.
So at the very least, they have
something
to put on the field. That being said, I really felt like there were better prospects on the board at the time.
Right.
And I really felt like they kind of dropped the ball with that.
Yeah, and I agree with you. You know, obviously them having one of the worst run games last year and allowing so many sacks to Matt Stafford, you don't want that to happen to your franchise quarterback, especially after you just signed him to a huge deal.
Mega deal, yeah.
So you got to watch out for that. And obviously, this next pick in the second round also coincides with the whole run game scenario,
mm-hmm.
Which this one intrigues me so much because they have now LeGarrette Blount. They have Theo Riddick. They have Ameer Abdullah. They have so many good running backs. I don't know what they're going to do now. But anyway, this next pick, Kerryon Johnson, running back out of Auburn. Big D, give it to us.
Well, Kerryon Johnson, 6 foot flat, 213 pounds. This guy's an incredibly aggressive running back. He's one of the most aggressive running backs in this draft this season.
Right.
He likes to run through people instead of around people, which is kind of the way I like it.
Right.
But Kerryon Johnson was aided significantly by the play call and the play style of Auburn. He's a good change of pace backup kind of running back right now.
Right.
Because he's going to take a lot of hits if he doesn't change his run style. And in the NFL, that could take some miles off of you.
Take a toll on you.
But he's already drawn some Le'Veon Bell comparisons coming out of the draft.
Okay.
So we'll see if he becomes the next belldozer.
There you go. Now, the next one I want to talk about is Deshaun Hand, defensive end out of Alabama. Obviously, any of these players coming from Nick Saban, you know, these NFL teams are going to have their eye on it, right? I mean, they having the nation's top defense last year, and I mean, Alabama performs every year. They're always top notch. So it just makes a lot of sense. Big D, but it also makes sense
because they wanted to get Ezekiel Ansah's Robin, if you will. They need somebody else to help him on the offense or the defensive line. Tell us about Deshaun Hand.
Well, Deshaun Hand, 6'4", he's 297 pounds. He's got a long frame. He's got above average natural athleticism for his size. But many people felt like Deshaun Hand never reached his full potential in Alabama.
Right.
He never really shined the way people expected him to. He's probably going to start out as a backup before he can be worked in the system. He's decent at rushing at the quarterback, but honestly, he's a second option at getting to the quarterback. I felt like they waited too long to get a pass rusher in this draft.
Gotcha. Now, one other one I want to mention too, Big D, is Tyrell Crosby, guard out of Oregon. Now, yes, it's round five, and this is a little later on, but at the same time, we just talked about how they need offensive line help. This could be another one of those situations that we've seen time and time again. These offensive linemen come in as a backup role or, you know, depth and what have you, and then they earn a roster spot and they become a quality starter. Tell us about Tyrell Crosby.
Well, Tyrell Crosby actually might be the steal that the Lions were looking for in this draft. He's 6'5", 309 pounds, and he played tackle position. He played as the number three guard as well on their depth chart at Oregon. So he's got some versatility to him.
Yeah, definitely.
But he's hard to get around. He's got good initial quickness, and he's a high-level run blocker. He's very good at bulldozing over people so that running backs can get through.
Oh, wow.
So it's basically just what the Lions needed.
Well, and so I got two things with that now. Obviously, the run game, they're coming right back to it even later on in the draft, right? They needed to get a better run game. And having a good run game always helps the offense in general. But also, this is going to be an athletic offensive lineman. Coming from the University of Oregon,
mm-hmm.
Oregon has always had an athletic offense.
They play a very fast style.
Exactly.
And let's not forget, many people, after his drafting, were questioning why he got drafted. There's a lot of people that said that he might be quietly one of the best offensive linemen in the draft this year.
Yeah, I mean, I this is why we're bringing it up. There's a good possibility here in the starting spot for the Detroit Lions. I mean, they do need offensive line help. And Matt Stafford would be very excited, especially in the two-minute drill. You know, 2 minutes left of the game. We got a hurry-up offense going here. He's used to that. He's used to the hurry-up offense. He's used to the
– Well, that's all he plays.
Exactly. So, very excited to see this man play. Big D, we are going to move on now. From the Detroit Lions to the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there. The Cincinnati Bengals, and this is where I would have thought the Lions would have went with the Bengals' first pick is where I thought the Lions were going to go on my mock draft, but they didn't. The Cincinnati Bengals keep a guy in state, Billy Price, center out of The Ohio State University. There's questions about him having that injury. Big D, good offensive lineman, though. Other than that, one of the best centers coming into football.
6'4", 305 pounds, so great size and athleticism. He's got 32-inch arms, good toughness and intelligence. He's also played at three spots along the offensive line, so he'll find himself a spot on this line somewhere.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And obviously, like the Lions, the Cincinnati Bengals have needed offensive line help for so long. And we criticized the Bengals so bad last offseason, because they didn't address the O-line issue. This year they have. They've gotten Cordy Glenn from the Buffalo Bills, who was a starting left tackle. They've now drafted Billy Price. And there's a couple other things they've done too. But Big D, next up, the next pick that the Bengals have made, Jesse Bates, safety out of Wake Forest. What's interesting real quick about Jesse Bates is he grew up, played high school not too far away from us, over in New Haven, Indiana, about a half hour away. So Jesse Bates obviously coming in to fill in a need for the Cincinnati Bengals. They needed some safety help, and obviously it's just going to help their defense. They play some top-notch quarterbacks. Big Ben's one of them.
Yeah.
And when Joe Flacco actually plays good, he can actually play good. So they needed to shore up that safety spot. Big D, tell us about Jesse Bates.
Well, Jesse's a little undersized for safety, unfortunately. He's just at 6'1", 200 pounds.
Right.
He's a good defender. He's got good cover skills, although he's not the best tackler. So that's something he's going to have to work on. He's not
Absolutely.
Very good at finishing tackles. So, you know, he's going to match up, though, with a lot of the slot receivers.
Okay.
And he's definitely one of the top five safeties in this draft class.
Right.
Because of his athleticism and his ability to get after the ball when it's in the air. So he's got good instincts for the ball. So that's good.
That is good. The D, next up, we're going right down the list here, but the Cincinnati Bengals drafted Sam Hubbard, defensive end out of The Ohio State University. So they double dipped in the Ohio State and keeping two guys in state and in the first three rounds. Sam Hubbard, obviously a very productive playmaker on the Buckeyes defense. Tell us about him, Big D.
Well, Sam Hubbard, 6'5", 270 pounds, to high effort player with ideal size, quick first step. He's got slippery hands, closing speed. He's a great edge rusher. And here's something a lot of people aren't talking about. He played. He's not going to need any directions around Cincinnati because he's from around them, that area there. He played at Art Bishop Muller High School over there, where he also not only dominated in football, but he was a two-sport athlete. He dominated in lacrosse as well.
Awesome.
So he's got a lot of speed and athleticism. While he's not an explosive pass rusher, he's a great edge defender who provides immediate depth at a much-needed position. Remember that the Cincinnati Bengals allowed 981 rush yards after contact last season.
That's not good.
Lot of rush yards to give up after being chipped at the line.
Right. That's too much. Now, I honestly don't think this is a depth pick. I think Sam Hubbard, this is why we're talking about him. I think he makes an almost immediate impact for that defensive line. There's some guys there that are just getting too old and aren't performing the way they should be. Big D, this next guy, though, Malik Jefferson, outside linebacker out of Texas. They need some help at the linebacker spot for the Bengals. They obviously need help on defense in general, and they're double downing on this, right back-to-back. You love Malik Jefferson. Tell us about him.
Well, Malik Jefferson, he's 6'2", 236 pounds. And listen, let's be honest. Vontaze Burfict, as good as he is, he's always either injured or suspended. Then you have Nick Vigil and Jordan Evans. They both battled injuries and inconsistency last year. Malik Jefferson has played an illustrious career at the University of Texas. He stayed healthy most of the time.
Right.
He's got the physical tools to play linebacker in the NFL. He's never going to be that alpha dog guy. But he's a straight dog when it comes to fighting in the trenches of people getting past offensive linemen and getting past that first initial chip. So I think he's got the reading and reacting skills to become a solid NFL starter at the linebacker position.
Next up, Big D, we're gonna go way down on the Cincinnati Bengals draft board, but this one intrigues me a lot. Logan Woodside from Toledo, not too far from us.
Yeah.
Quarterback. The reason why this intrigues me is because obviously AJ McCarron's out there. They have Drixel as the backup, but Logan Woodside could earn his role as the backup. And then if Andy Dalton gets hurt, we may be seeing some Logan Woodside play time here.
Yeah, you know, Logan Woodside, he won some championships over there and old Thule Dew over there. And honestly, he's got some good size and athleticism, 6'1", 213 pounds. You know, he's an underrated prospect, I think, because he's played in the MAC, and a lot of people don't give them a lot of respect. But let's not forget, Toledo played some big-time schools, and they played pretty well against them, and Logan Woodside was a large part of that.
Right.
He was very well-respected by his team. People talked very highly of him coming out of town, out of school because of his leadership capabilities and his ability to see the whole field. He's very good at analyzing defenses and knowing not only knowing where not to throw the ball, but the optimal throw. And that's important when you're a quarterback. Vision is so important when you're a quarterback, probably more than any other position besides running back.
Big D, the next guy we're going to talk about now, the last pick for the Cincinnati Bengals. This one, I talked about him so much. I raved about him. Auden Tate, wide receiver out of Florida State. Love this kid. Obviously, he had an injury concern. But at the same time, his junior campaign was amazing. And not to mention, he's got size that is second to none. He is a big receiver.
Yeah,
tell five, us. Yeah, go ahead, tell us.
228 pounds. He's great at jumping from 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
He's a massive target. He's got rare length in the frame to box out defenders and come down with the jump balls. His top end speed and vertical, though, are both red flags. He's not the fastest receiver.
Right. He's definitely going to be a position and red zone threat.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much what he's going to do, but that's fine. You know, they've got burners. They've got John Ross. They've got AJ Green as a playmaker. Auden Tate, to me, you get him down in the red zone, you're going to love it. I promise you.
Like a possession receiver. Right,
yeah,
there.
Absolutely. Next up, guys, the next team we're going to talk about is the Tennessee Titans. Big D, we just talked about it earlier with Alabama. They produce so much talent in the NFL. They do it year in and year out. It's not changing here. The Tennessee Titans go and draft Rashawn Evans, outside linebacker out of Alabama. Huge playmaker. Again, this is another prospect that I had to pay close attention to because there's a possibility he may have went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, obviously I pay attention to all these prospects, but when the Steelers are brought up, I'm looking closer, and I want to make sure my guys are getting a good guy. But Big D, tell us about Rashawn Evans.
Rashawn Evans is 6'2". He's 232 pounds. He's light on his feet in coverage. He's versatile and strong against the run. And it's obvious you watch his game footage. This is a very intense player. He loves the game of football.
Right.
He loves hitting people. He loves hurting people.
Right.
Tennessee, they needed someone that was aggressive. Remember that they just lost Avery Williamson. He signed with the Jets this offseason.
Right.
And so Wesley Woodyard, he needed a little Batman to his Robin action. And I think they found it in Rashawn Evans. Rashawn Evans is touted as probably being the 14th best player in this draft overall.
Right.
And the Titans managed to get him at the 19th spot. So he did a little bit of a slide. I know some people were concerned about his health and whether or not he would be able to perform at the next level. But this guy's no slouch. He stays healthy. The Tennessee Titans are going to be huge winners in this deal.
Sure. And, you know, the thing is with Rashawn Evans, like you said, the Tennessee Titans needed more aggressive players on their defense. And Mike Vrabel, being the defensive man that he is, he went after a defensive player right away in the first round. Their defense is getting nastier. It doesn't stop here, though, Big D. The next pick that they have, Harold Landry, edge rusher out of Boston College. This is the same Harold Landry that when we had Chris Hoban on round one of draft night, he was expecting him to go in round one. He was expecting him, or he's expecting him to have do big things in the NFL this year. Big D, tell us about Harold Landry.
Well, another big guy, 6'2", 252 pounds. This guy can play 4-3 defensive schemes and 3-4 defensive schemes. He's capable of developing into a great three-down starter at outside linebacker in the NFL. He's going to need a little bit more time probably to get stronger. He's great at making an impact and stopping the run. He still needs to work on his pass rushing. But if you look at the Titans roster, this guy fits the scheme. The Titans were in desperate need of edge rushing, and with Landry, they get a player who piled up 16.5 sacks and 22 tackles for a loss in 2016. That's pretty impressive.
Absolutely. And Big D,
especially when you consider the teams he's playing. He's playing against Florida State, Clemson,
right.
So that's pretty good.
And not to mention now he's going to the AFC South,
yeah,
which they have top-notch offenses down in the South. Now, they don't stop there on defense, though. The very next pick they have is in round five. Dane Cruikshank, safety out of Arizona. Big D, talk about him a little bit.
6'1", 209 pounds. He's a big guy. He's got shorter arms, though, but where he wins is speed. The only thing that I would say about Dane is that he's a little twitchy. He was prone to getting off sides a little bit.
Right.
Got to work on the cadences with him. But
right.
Other than that, I think that's the win. There were some off-the-field concerns about Dane Cruikshank getting in a little bit of trouble here and there.
Sure.
So that's something to keep in mind. But, again, it happens.
It is what it is.
It happens with NFL sometimes.
And then the last pick, that's right, Tennessee Titans only had four picks, guys. Round six, pick 25, Luke Falk, quarterback out of Washington State. Big D, you like Luke Falk. Tell us about him.
Well, you know, Luke Falk came out of a system produced by former Texas Tech coach.
Right.
And honestly, you know, this is one of those quarterbacks that comes along every once in a while, and you wonder how he slipped under the radar for so long. He's 6'4", 215 pounds.
Big guy.
He piled up massive numbers at Washington State. And the only reason that he's not getting the respect that I think he deserves is because Washington State is not known for being a powerhouse team. But keep in mind, Luke Falk threw multiple 2,000 and 3,000-plus-yard seasons against the USC, Washington, who both had top-tier defenses for two of the years that he was in college. And then you look at the fact that he also threw against Oregon. I mean, he's got experience in big games.
Right.
So, you know, he's got excellent accuracy, good anticipation, great pocket presence. The guy is a touchdown machine. So, honestly, this is a win for the Tennessee Titans.
Sure.
If they can't keep their quarterback healthy, Luke Falk can come in, and he can pick people apart.
Possibly, you know, give the Titans a little bit of an edge there, or, you know, possibly a little bit of cushion and losing Marcus Mariota, which God forbid. But, Big D, the Dallas Cowboys, we need to give them their grade. I give them a B.
I'm gonna agree. I think the Cowboys, they get a B from me. I think they would have gotten an A if they would have addressed their if they would have addressed their wide receiver position a little bit more.
Okay.
I felt like they waited till the third. I mean, waiting till the third round, I felt like it was kind of a mistake.
Okay.
On that, there were great receivers available early. I know they were worried about getting Leighton Vander Esch, but I feel like Connor Williams would have slid a little bit, and they could have still gotten him in the next round down. I'm also kind of questioning their drafting of Mike White. I'm not really sure why they decided to go with a quarterback when they already have Dak and they already have another quarterback on their roster.
Right.
And Dak has not exactly shown that he's injury prone or anything like that. So
I think,
I'm not sure why they didn't just double dip at another position like tight end or offensive lineman.
I think for me, I think the whole with the Dallas Cowboys, the first three picks, you can even say Dalton Schultz in the round four, but the first three picks is where they do well. I'm happy with them. But then after that, there's just some guys where I wish they would have, they could have got like Maurice Hurst. You know, he went in the fifth round of the Raiders. They could have got him late in the draft and helped their defensive tackle spot, which has been a need for so long. You know, there's just a few spots here and there. They did. It was a solid draft class for him, but I have to say it's a B.
Yeah.
Next up, Big D, the Cincinnati Bengals, or the Detroit Lions. Excuse me, the Bengals are afterwards. The Detroit Lions. I'm going to give them. I think I'm going to give them a B minus. I think the first round they did not do as well as I would have hoped. But after that, they did okay. So I'm going to give them a B minus.
I'm going to give them a C plus, Ted.
I was on the edge of it.
I'm giving them a C plus. I'm not happy with the Detroit Lions draft class. First off, I felt like they shot themselves in the foot with their first pick with Frank Ragnow. Nothing against the guy. But there were
better offensive linemen
on board.
Sure.
They kind of brought it back when they got Terrell Crosby. But I got major questions about why they went ahead and got Deshaun Hand and Nick Bottom when they had opportunities to get other players that were better at other positions that they had needs for. So I'm a little concerned about that. I also think they didn't do enough to address their offensive line. I mean, they let some guys walk away in the offseason. And honestly, again, there's not. I mean, I know they didn't have a lot of picks, but there's no excuse. But they could have spent way better picks on some of these offensive linemen, or even traded to get more options at the offensive line. Their offensive line was abysmal last season.
Right.
And honestly, as good as Terrell Crosby looks like he is, and as good as Frank Ragnow has the potential to be,
right,
I don't think that's enough to solve their immediate problem. I mean, Matthew Stafford was one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the NFL a season ago,
right,
and they were absolutely, like, basically dead last in running the ball last season. And I know that Kerryon Johnson has been drafted to try and help that out, but I don't think this team did.
Well, and I think for me, the whole Kerryon Johnson thing, as solid and as good of a running back as he is, they have good running backs.
Yeah.
They could have used that position right,
on
or that
offensive
lineman or anything else to help them out be better as a team.
I mean, you know, waiting to the fifth round to get another offensive lineman for
yeah.
me when that's your top need,
right,
just makes no sense to me. You didn't need to draft Tracy Walker and Deshaun Hand necessarily. Your defense is solid,
right.
You needed to focus on offensive line and protecting Matt Stafford, who you
sure.
just invested like $128 million in. So.
Right. Next up, Cincinnati Bengals, Big D. We're going to knock this out. The Bengals, I think I'm going to give them a B+. I think I'm pretty happy with their draft class. They addressed some issues that they've had for a while. They've got, we gave them so much crap last year for not addressing the offensive line spot. They did it twice in this draft. They've also got a solid safety in Jesse Bates. They went and drafted Sam Hubbard, he's going to help shore up that defensive line. You and I both love Malik Jefferson, especially in round three.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got to give them a B+. I think they did well. They had a lot of picks, too.
For the first time ever, I'm going to give the Cincinnati Bengals an A-.
Oh, my God.
Their draft grade this year was well-earned. They went in, and they realized they could not put the same product on the field next season.
Right.
They just absolutely could not afford to do it. There's a lot to be excited about if you're a Cincinnati Bengals fan with these prospects. They drafted almost every single need that they had, and they got the best bang for your buck at every position that they could get. So I think, honestly, this is a win. The later round picks by the Bengals, they kind of just said, you know what, let's just see what the best possible options are at these spots for us, and let's draft our needs, but let's look at the future. And I like what they did. I mean, Andy Dalton's not getting any younger. So drafting Logan Woodside, I think, is a huge win.
A little bit of competition.
I think that's a little – that's only going to benefit him. And honestly, as much crap as people give Andy Dalton, he's still a solid quarterback.
Sure.
And Logan Woodside can learn a whole lot from him.
I think the biggest bang for their buck, in my opinion, is their last pick in Auden Tate. As big as he is – and his junior campaign. Yes, I know last year he was hurt, but his junior campaign, the production he had, Auden Tate to me is just a good bang for your buck. Last pick of their draft class, love it. Good job, Cincinnati. I mean, this is divisional rival fans saying that.
I mean, the thing that I love the most about their draft is they realized that their defense
needed help,
and they drafted multiple positions. I mean, they drafted safety, defensive end, outside linebacker, two corners, two defensive ends. I mean, they knocked it out of the park on defense, and then they didn't stop there. They also improved their offensive line, and they got themselves a physical receiver. So I think the Cincinnati Bengals did a great job in addressing their needs. So I'm going to give them an A-.
The Tennessee Titans, they only had four picks, so this is going to be, I would say, a little more in-depth grade because we don't have a whole lot to go off of.
Yeah.
But Rashawn Evans, I think that was a great pickup for them. So was Harold Landry. From Boston College, I think both of those guys helped the defense out right away. And then they only had their next picks were in round five and round six. I think I'm just going to give them a solid B. I want to see how all these guys turn out, but it seems like Rashawn Evans and Harold Landry are going to make an impact right away. The only other thing I would have liked them to address is the O-line to help protect Marcus Mariota and help give running lanes for Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry is a big running back, and they need to make big holes for him. So with that being said, good job, Tennessee Titans, but I just would have loved to have seen a little bit more, but they didn't have a whole lot to go off of either. So
I'll give them a B. I like Landry. I like
Evans.
So I think that's a B. I'm still questioning the Crookshanks draft. I'm not sure about that, but you know, Falk should be a good quarterback for the future for them. Definitely gives them some depth at a position that they needed it in. So I'll give them a B.
All right, guys, we told you it was going to be a short show. It's about almost to the hour. Want to thank you for tuning in. Those are our draft grades. Next week, guys, we will be doing the New England Patriots. We're going to be talking about the Patriots again. Go figure. We'll be doing the Carolina Panthers. And honestly, I think we're going to bang out another four teams, Big D. So let's do the Baltimore Ravens and the Atlanta Falcons. But it will not be next weekend. Next weekend, I will be coming back from Chicago. And I know you had a couple things pre-planned, so we will not have a show next Sunday, but the following Sunday we will, and that's why we're going to do four teams. You're going to the zoo. anyways, guys, thank you for tuning in. We will see you not next week, the week after. We will give you everything up to date, though. Watch our Facebook page. Stay tuned to that. And again, we will see you next time. Take care.